Good evening, everybody. We are back on a Tuesday night for the first time in a couple of weeks, obviously with the All Arsenal review show. And again, we've got a bit of a crossover this evening with In the North Bank with Bray's channel as well. So obviously, if you're in the chat, do get any questions, any topics you want. And if you are joining from X, then make sure you jump onto both channels, drop a like and subscribe, and again, get involved in the chat. Lots to talk about this evening. We've got the WSL fixture and a bit of the title race happenings as well. So we'll start off with that first, and then we'll look into Saturday's game against Bournemouth, go through all of that, and obviously look forward to the big one on Sunday afternoon as well, if we want to look ahead that far just yet. But as always, we have my co-host Liam joining tonight. How are you?
Yep, good evening, everyone. Yep, all good. Thank you very much. Two more games to go. Two more cup finals, and hopefully a miracle can occur somewhere.
We're praying. And as well with us this evening from obviously the channel, Mr. Arsenal Podcast, Ryan, how are you?
Better than what I was over the weekend health-wise, but we're getting there. As I say, as Liam says, two more finals, one more for the girls as well in terms of one more game. Yeah, I'm a bit, when it comes to the girls game later, I'm going to be two minds. I'm caught in two minds if I'm happy or not, because it's because the consequences of our actions now.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And as I mentioned earlier, bit of a collab this evening with Paul Bray. How are you?
Yeah, all good, thank you, G. Yeah, buzzing from the weekend. Yeah, two more, like all the others say. Yeah, we've been waiting for this moment. For a long time.
Exactly. Yeah, we're almost there. And yeah, fresh from meeting up at the weekend as well. Mark, how are you?
Very well, thanks. Very well. Looking forward to this. It's a lot to discuss, so let's
get on with it. Absolutely. And last but not least, we have Bez. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Very happy, very pleased, but also a bit nervous come the end of the season now.
Yeah. I think we're all in that mind at the moment of, do we believe? Are we panicking? The group chat sort of resisting each other at the moment, aren't they? But, you know, that's what it does to us, isn't it? It's the roller coaster that we're all well and truly hooked on at the moment. But obviously, we want to start off with the women's side this week. Massive game, a ground that we don't normally do very well at. Circumstances of how we've been performing, the title, all of those things, and we go and actually win. Ryan, first of all, with the team sheet, what did you make of it when it came out? Because for me, I was probably not shocked, but thinking, what on earth are we doing here? That's not something I was expecting whatsoever, all those changes for that kind of fixture.
No, it was, I was just a bit watching my watch longs on Sunday, and in general, I was very disappointed. Being honest, because for the last few weeks he has been doing the Steena, even though he's been keeping his formation the same, he's been doing the Steena Russo combo, playing them together at the same time. And the thing is, it showed, we've been saying it works. If one's scoring, the other's assisting, and vice versa. It just felt like, for me, Jonas saw the result in midweek between Liverpool and Chelsea and went, we have other chances to have one last laugh at Emma Hayes's expense. And he sort of tinkered, for me, initially tinkered too much. I don't know why Kim Little was rested. Because apart from this game, we've got one more game, and that's in 2 weeks' time. Yeah. It's not like he's got thick and fast, things like that. It just made no sense. It was very frustrating. These are the things that make me doubt Jonas knows what he's doing sometimes. Because, yes, we have a fantastically big squad and they're all talented players, but as I say, it felt like he was playing, he wanted to have one last dig at Emma Hayes, even though it did backfire in the end, sadly, in one sense. It could have ended badly if we, because City were going for the title. City knew if they won, they're all but champions. Steph Heaton's a good ex-Arsenal, it's her last appearance there as well, so it was their last chance to lift it as well on their place, because they're away at Villa Park on the last match day. And when Lauren Hemp scored, I thought it'd be with how long was left, I thought it'd be an absolute onslaught. And I was I'll be honest, I was excited because if we'd gotten up, if we'd gotten better the way I thought we were going to get better by that, that initial run up there, because of the how can I put this? The incentive, sorry, of what we had at their hands, I think a lot more people would have been going for Jonas because again, it's like pettiness. It seemed like pettiness at the time, but at the end of the day, the girl's got the job done at the end. But I don't know. With all due respect, I love Chloe Lacasse, but why is Caitlin Ford suddenly being dropped? I mentioned him a little before. Caitlin Ford, Stina. Why not give Sabrina a run out as well, D'Angelo in goal? But you know, they got the job done in the end. He got the subs right. I'll give him that. But yeah,
bit of a strange one.
Yeah, basically, the long wind of what I said. Basically, yeah.
And what was really nice to see is obviously Freedom Arnhem coming back to start a game. Obviously, with what happened with her just over a month ago, she has been getting minutes off the bench, building up. But there's how good was it to see her name back on the school starting 11 sheet?
It's just wonderful to hear that, how the fact she's a strong person mentally, because to have that, I'm allowed to say the word form, because I was watching the game as well, that no one said nothing, like what was going on, you know, just to see her come back strongly, doing what she does best. And I'm fine with saying, Blackstain is being a best mate, scoring a double, I guess makes it special. I mean, all I can say is in critical to Jonas right now is, where is this performance being through the season? You know, witnessing a true victory against a certain champs elect, and then it feels like a bit too little too late in their place, you know. But I hope it's a little boost for the team going to the new season. Hopefully pre-season, now he knows what squad he has. As I said in the previous one, I know that he knows he loves to tinker a bit, as I echo what Ryan is saying, but surely just keep the same squad a bit. Don't keep rotating too much. Because I feel that for me is a bit like Ryan used to do for Chelsea, you know, the side of it, like a bit missing tinker man, a bit too much, you know, too much rolling the ball around, I think, for these, you know, squad rotation stuff. It's not very settling for everyone, I think it looks like.
And Liam, just coming to you on it as well, the starting 11, obviously we just mentioned when you were off, that it's pretty much a big shakeup going into such a big game. Obviously we're not really in the top, well, we're not in the title race, but do you think that was a big gamble for him to give other players, more so to give the likes of Cooney, Cross, Marnham, Lacasse some minutes, thinking maybe we weren't actually going to get anything from that game? Or do you think it's just another one where he's just lost his marbles for a week?
I don't know, you know, like, I had to agree with Ryan in terms of, was he trying to screw over Chelsea in terms of obviously that final dig into Emma Hayes, that I'm going to rotate my squad now and bring some players in. But it kind of didn't work, did it? Because we won the game. And I don't know. It's such a weird situation, I think, because obviously where we've played the games before against lesser teams, then to go into play like at that point, yeah, or going into Sunday's game, we all said on air that we thought we'd lose on Sunday. And to go and play like a weakened side, leave Kim Little on the bench, said to me that it was like he was trying to obviously put the final now in Emma Hayes' coffin. And I don't think no one expected at half-time for that result to finish that way. I don't think no one expected it after 80 minutes, even though we had the chances. And really, Man City bottled it, if we're being totally honest. Man City completely bottled it. And to make it worse for them, Chelsea going to beat Bristol City 8-0. And I've got to be honest here now, I don't see Chelsea not winning the title. I think Chelsea will get the wins they need, and I think they'll get the goals they need to beat them on goal difference. And I don't know. It was a really, really surreal selection, but then we win, and I don't feel like we won because he wanted us to win. And I know that sounds bad and it sounds wrong, but I think that he didn't really care what the result was. And I wonder if he's sitting there now thinking, do you know what I mean, I've handed her the title after everything that's happened over the past 3 to 4 weeks. I don't think she's done. I've basically won her the title.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. It's a tricky one, isn't it? Because we were saying off air as well that we're obviously disappointed. We've won the game, which is we've obviously, like I said, beat them at their ground, which we haven't done for a while before. Obviously came back into the game fighting, which is always all good things, but it also means nothing for where we're going to finish pretty much. And it also means we've probably just given our rivals the title. But reflecting it onto the men's side, that's also what we want someone else to do for us. So Mark, do you think it's we should just be take that result and hope for the same going into the men's game as well? Or do you think we threw the game? Do you think it was tactical, or do you think it was just one of those days?
Yeah, probably just one of those things. I think once players take to the field, they're kind of going to go all out to win the result, win the game, regardless of the implications for other teams. And as you said, hopefully karma comes back and we get a favourable result from Fulham or Spurs on the men's side in the next week or so. I think once, as the lads have said, yeah, he probably did rotate and picked a strange team, but once the 11 take to the field, they're going to go all out regardless of what's at stake or who they can or cannot help. Maybe afterwards they'll regret scoring the winner, but during the game, I think it's just the chance comes, you have to try and take it.
Absolutely. And coming to you as well, Bray, I know you're sort of as well like Mark, sort of slowly getting into the women's side a little bit. So just want to get your thoughts on Stina Blaksenius. She's sort of one of those strikers that we love, but she can also be offside quite a lot and miss really easy chances. But then one day she can turn up and either win us a cup or win us a game away at City. What do you think of her from what you have seen?
No, first, I don't watch a huge amount. I do watch a little bit, and I've seen obviously some of the goals, but she does well. I think she does better well, but I think there is more to come from her. How old is she? She's not.
I think she's like 25 or 26, I think.
Yeah, sorry, 25, 26. I was going to double check that, but yeah.
Yeah, but look, I said in the end, I think it's a position that we've been trying to fill, haven't we? Medema, isn't it?
She's older. It's 28. 28.
Ah. 28, blimey. So there you go. I think she certainly comes in and she's done well at times, and certainly scored some important goals. Obviously, two goals late at the weekend. So decent enough. Just need to add players around her now. Certainly with those ones that had long term injuries. I think that's what killed us at the start of the season. Now they're back. Hopefully you've got a good pre-season going into next season now.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Brian as well, just on Stina, obviously there's talks about her potentially leaving in the summer. More so, I think, because she's being switched around quite a lot. Although we all know that they work really well together. And I think they complement each other as quite well as her and Russo. But do you think that's a risk that she may be looking to leave elsewhere, or do you think that we can maybe pin her down and keep her as a striker going forward?
Well, this is a bit. I was saying this on Sunday when Gary came on and joined me for the watch along, when because he asked that same question. I was like, okay, we all want her to stay because she has, since Kelly Smith, I mentioned this in previous podcasts with yourself, since Kelly Smith has come along and been the assistant coach or attacking coach, whatever it is. Stina's form transformed brilliantly in terms of she's more clinical, and obviously with Russo coming in as well, she's kept that going this season when she has been called upon, and it must be frustrating for her to go want to get a feet set, get into this form, be that number, that person that everyone relies on up top, then someone else has come in as competition. And the manager, instead of trying to compliment them both in starting 11, change the formation maybe, and tactics, for most of the season it's been one of the other, mainly the other in her case. So I can, if she is contemplating going elsewhere, I can understand that, because obviously we now know her age as well. She's in a palm of her career as well. But for me, for her, to convince her to stay, Jonas for me, needs to change formation to where you can play Russo and Steiner up top, and also and it doesn't and still have your Bethmeads and the Caitlins and all that to rely upon on the wings, but have a vocal point of two strikers instead of just the one, and then you also have a Michelle who's just on professional contracts last week, by the way. Have her come on for one of them every week. So she's then not having that pressure of coming in as a number two straight away. She can be the third choice still, Michelle. Come on, work alongside both, learn off both at different times. And this is down to Jonas now. What will he do this? Or is he going to keep sticking to the formation? Because that, I think that's the sticking point here for me, that even though he has been playing recently until Sunday, Steen and Russo together, and it does show it'll work in this format, even in this formation, I think he needs to, for a more long term, to play them both together in the 11. He needs to change the formation to a two striker formation, in my opinion. But he needs to then convince her that's what he's going to do, and he's got to use that free season coming to work with it. So when the season comes, it's not catching the players off guard. Basically, they're not needing time to adapt.
That's completely fair enough. So a good couple of comments popping up as well. Just this one from Gamer Sisters 123. Steena doesn't get nearly enough game time that her ability requires. I think she adores the club, but unless Jonas utilises her, what's the point? Can't expect someone to stay where they're not wanted. To be fair, like Ryan said, she is inconsistent with her. I think every time she gets a good chance or she'll score a couple of goals, she then doesn't start the next game. So it might be one of those things, but I think she enjoys being here, and as long as we can keep her at the club, then that's also an area we don't have to worry about, which links in nicely to AFC Always questions of, would we say we're about five or six players in certain positions that could take us to the next level the season? Bez, I'll come to you first. Obviously, we've talked about it a few times of what positions we might need to go for more, but do you agree that we're maybe are in need of a few more extra players than we're maybe first thinking of maybe like the lives of Steena, possibly going Viv? We're not sure what's going to happen with her at the moment because things are a little bit awkward, it feels. But what do you think, and where do you think we can strengthen?
Well, it's tough, cool, but from what I see, maybe the midfield or the ladies as well on this defense needs some physicality, because I do see sometimes they're a bit fragile when it comes to their... It's funny, I'll say this, they're quite fragile in their defensive prowess, like compared to, obviously, I don't know compared to the men, but in all fairness, it's like they need someone who can basically stand the authority to say, look, run down defending, stay well back, don't do anything stupid or anything rash, you know, without being overly critical. Come on now. Because now I can see the league is growing, you know. There's games out that we feel that we should have lost. It's like similar to like how the season's progressed. I mean, watching the highlights of the game against City, it surprised me that now that Jonas is trying to implement something new, but I feel like, where was this in January or February? Like, from what I see, yeah, so FC Always there has got a good point. I think, for me personally, I think, yeah, four, I guess, new recruitments would be great. I think five, six is quite a lot, because I think if Vivian Menema does stay, if I'm saying the name right, does stay a bit longer, attacking, I think we're right. As I said, midfield, I think we need maybe a few. Defence, I think we need, I think, a couple, because we don't know what squad we have. And plus, you can see that little, I don't know, defensive needs a little mental strength. Goalkeeping-wise, can I please just say, him rotating his goalkeepers, like, it's not fun. Because I see really, what's her name? When Zinsberger plays, she has a crack in running. You know what? Drops her, puts the other lady in. I'm thinking, nothing against the goalkeepers, but please keep consistently one goalkeeper. It doesn't ruin that, you know, that focus of the team, like where they're going and what sort of style of play should we do? You know, play from the back, play from, you know, from the offset that sometimes he tries to do. The way he plays against City, it seems like that's a new way forward, but hopefully I feel like just don't tinker too much again in these tactics of things. It doesn't need to do silly, you know, silly, I don't know, experiments, shall we say. For me, that's what it looks like from seeing the highlights.
Yeah, it's kind of the wrong time, isn't it? You just think, let's just get the season done. And And Liam, coming over to you on that one, because I know we've had quite a few discussions about where we can strengthen in the summer. But do you think it's more of a defensive side than attacking? If we can keep the likes of Cena and Viv, then do we really need anyone else up front of what we've got? Or do you think we can sort of sprinkle around what we need?
I think we need a winger. I do think we need someone on the left side, definitely. Someone who can obviously get some pace and get down the byline. I think obviously a defender, an additional defender will be good, because obviously we all know that obviously Williamson had a long injury, and we don't want to go back to the situation of obviously back end of last season into this season. So I think another centre back be good, but I think the goalkeeper's the big one. If I'm being totally honest, I think the goalkeeping situation needs to be sorted once and for all. And we need to get a really good goalkeeper in. But I don't know how doable that is to get them three positions in one window. But it seems to be more easier in the ladies' game than the men's game, if I'm being totally honest, in terms of getting the signings in. So it could happen. I don't really know what names, though. Like, to be honest, I know obviously the pipe dream last year was Mary Earps, but I'm not sure if that one's fizzled out now. But yeah, I don't know, really know about the left hand side, who we'd go for, really.
It's one of those, isn't it? And once we can get back into the Champions League and attract that type of player as well, or even look into the NWSL, like bringing over Emily Fox. She's been a revelation. I know I've said it loads of times. But even her tactical ability and her strength, like Bez was saying, in defence, has improved us since she's come in only in January. So maybe we can look to sort of go outside of the league and bring in some stronger players going forward. But Bray, I'll come to you. Mary Earps, is that a name that, obviously from the Lionesses, in a bit of a pickle with United, it always seems. Even a video the other day of her last game at their little ground. She didn't look too into it. Do you think that's someone that we could maybe pull across like we did with Russo?
Yeah, I think at that time when we were linked with her, and I think it just fell through, didn't it? They didn't want to do it. They didn't want to do the deal, did they? We offered, what was it? What was it? 1.5 million, was it?
I think it was a world record
at the time, anyways. I can't remember the exact figure, but I remember saying it was a world record.
I don't know what contract she's got left, but
her contract's up.
Is it? So the summary is done. So
yeah,
that's get one free.
This is literally used all over again, basically.
You'd be all over the whatever she wants, salary wise. You'd take it, and she'd definitely be a massive improvement on what I've seen of our goalkeepers, Zinsberger, from even to games at the Emirates. Just scares the life out of me for like crosses and stuff. I just find really, really weak. Mary,
it's weird for someone who doesn't watch a lot of it but listens to theirs. They do talk about Zinsberger not being that special, and then I see she got a new contract not that long ago. So obviously, Idaval is either protecting value to sell her on, or he sees her as the number one. So it's one or the other. If he's protecting value to sell her on, fair enough. But if he sees her as the number one, then you kind of have to go, is he watching a different game than everyone else's?
Well, it's also a weird one as well, because for anyone that doesn't know, her and her partner are about to have a baby around August, September time. So there's a, nothing's confirmed, obviously, but you'd assume she'd be on maternity leave at the start of the season as well. So is it, I don't know if it's just giving her a contract, so she's got a wage coming in for the first few months, and then she's coming back as number two or something. I don't know. Because it was just weird that we've been so heavily on the Mary Earps train, the Cub, and then the day after the window closed, here's a new contract, Manu.
Yeah. That was shocking, I've got to say. But as well, we kind of did go in the January quite hard for Russo, didn't we? And that didn't happen. Mm. But then you didn't really hear a lot in the summer. I know obviously they were about to go to the World Cup and everything, but that kind of kicked off within a day or two, and then all of a sudden she was signed. So do you think there's a possibility of maybe the media obviously isn't on the women's transfers as much as they would be the men's? and it's quite common that actually contracts expire and then they move on. Do you think that's something that we might be working on behind the scenes, knowing, like you said, Ryan, Sinsberger is going to be out at an important time at the beginning of the season and the Champions League start of campaign as well. It's not the best time to lose your start, like your starting goalkeeper, is it?
No, especially, I mean, you mentioned it before about the rotation and all that. Obviously, but start of this season, Manu had three bad games for her standards in recent times. Got dropped from a United game. Sabrina came in, made one mistake. She then got dropped. And it's been Manu ever since, apart from the odd occasion, here and then everywhere. I just think that literally Arsenal have been, like Russo, like you say, we was heavy on Russo, two world record bids. They, Man United went, no. We're going to take that risk. We want to keep her, but we're going to take the risk either way. She then told him in the season, you're wasting my time. This is a club that really wants me. I'm going there. And I think we're doing it again. Because it was like, was it after the World Cup it came out about Mary Earps last summer? It was just after, about a few days, give or take. And then you got reports coming back when she was coming back to Carrington that she was distancing herself from the celebrations, from the girls coming back and from the World Cup, like this, the little party they had. And that's her body language this season. I've watched games and her body language, she's not happy to be there. It's like she's been forced to stay there. Because goals he's conceding, he's not even having a go at the defenders. But when you compare it to on international duty, unless she makes a mistake herself, she was going to take the responsibility. When someone else makes a mistake on international duty, she'll call them out and da-da, whatever. And even with the Emirates, when we played them, it was just like, again, she wanted to be on the other side sort of thing. It's like, why am I here? I don't want to be. And it's like, may not keep repeating this. I honestly thought Man United wouldn't repeat the same mistake after the mistake they made with Russo, with us. I honestly thought they'd be brainy enough, stupidly, to take some money from Mary. Because how often do you get a goalkeeper of that standard in any level of football who's got a contract running out, but a big club wants her? Not a big, a big club, but multiple clubs want her, but she wants to go... I don't know in the cup final, but they haven't exactly pulled up trees this season, domestic in the league. They got knocked out of the Champions League as well against, was it PSG? They knocked them out.
Yeah.
So they've hardly kicked on this season.
And they might not even get Champions League this season at the moment either.
They won't. The top three is done.
Yeah. So that's another factor, isn't it? If we're
and they're behind Liverpool now.
They're not. She obviously wants to be at the top of her game.
Mm.
It's an opportunity to jump in on it, I think. And until the last day, I hope it does happen.
I think it will happen. I think I think Arsenal behind the scenes are keeping it hush hush until the last moments. But we are going to touch wood. We will get over the line because we've just been more aggressive on the situation because we've been so public about it, saying that we want you. You will be our number one. And we are in Europe every season, one way or the other. We are competing. We are winning trophies one way or the other. Even though in the off-season, we're still winning trophies. Whereas United, Emma, Mary. And do you want to stay with Skinner as well for another year or two?
Yeah. and as well, actually, just a thought popped into my head there. I'll come to you, Liam. Imagine then having, if we manage to sign Mary Earps, then you've got Leah and Lotto in front of her, as England players, of course. And you've got, like said, Beth Mead, obviously Alessia Russo as well. A real strong sort of spine for the country and the club, if possible.
I think if she moves, I think we're serious, obviously, competitors for her, for that reason alone. She's been teammates of Russo, obviously, the England captains, Williamson. So you'd like to think that just between them two alone, that they're probably in her ear a little bit, telling them how good it is in Arsenal. And I've always said as well, and I'll continue to say this, because of the amount of games we play at the Emirates each year and playing in front of the 60,000 stadium, in front of between usually 45,000 to 60,000 fans, that should go a long, long way because that's what every footballer's dream is. And obviously you like to think that's her dream as well. So if there is business to be made there, I think that we've got a great chance of getting her. I don't see her really going to anywhere else in England, if I'm being frankly honest, yeah. So otherwise, it's Lyon or Barcelona or someone like that, isn't it? Really, but I like to think that we're definitely in the melting pot if she goes, and I think we can get her. I do really honestly think we can get her, and it seems it's a bit like the Russo one, isn't it? Like it was there, it didn't happen, it went quiet, and then it did happen.
Yeah, could it, done and dusted, nice and early.
Yeah, could it happen again? And if we can get her in, I think it's a game changer. Honestly, I think it changes the goalpost next year. And as I said to you before, he's got to compete for the title next year, and he's basically got to try and win it next year. There's no excuses.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I'll just quickly, before we wrap up on the women's side, I'll just go through the current standings of the league table. So obviously, City are currently top with 52 points. Chelsea then, with a game in hand, are on 49. And we're obviously third with 47. But I think more importantly, the difference for us this year, apart from obviously a couple of points behind, the goal difference is looking at City with 45, Chelsea with 46, obviously after that 8-0 the other day. And we're on 28. Bez, how disappointing is that? I know we've obviously had attackers that are coming back from big injuries, so that's kind of understandable. But to also be so far off it in the competition on goal difference, that even if we were up on the points, we'd still be nowhere near or not. Like the men, we wouldn't be challenging or have that as maybe an extra point. How disappointing is it that we've sort of lacked in that area this year, as well with the players that we do have available?
I don't think I'm blaming the players, despite the ruthless being a bit low, because you can see with Jonas, I know I'm repeating myself a lot, he's tinkering, he's not been something I really enjoyed. I really feel like, man, you need to see, you had Russo from the get-go. You didn't, if I'm not correctly, when she first stepped in our club, he didn't play her much. And then having Black Stainers at the time as well, felt a bit like, yeah, great. But it does seem that in this sort of league, how is now the women's football is growing, I think the way forward is to have two strikers that link well together, understand each other. And I echo the person who said that. Simply, we need someone who can attack for one and then assist the other and play around and basically have something like a unit in that front. You know, have some sort of like ability to make the field feel like a bit like, I don't know how to say this, a bit more like challenge for a win rather than, you know, we suffered like, was it just after one before won the League Cup even as well? And I realized I think the man forgets who he is. I think for me, he just simply be, I just feel like he needs to know now, like, okay, finish the season strong. You know where your points, hopefully he knows these weaknesses are as a manager as well. If he's making his signings, as we're all saying, you know, keep it within yourself to say, okay, I want this position, that position. But surely, as suggestion goes, maybe, a strong scoring striker is needed. And while she come to a club, it would be great. But one thing I want to say quickly before I forget, we just had a light bulb, was Liam was saying something. When we signed Alessio Russo, there's a video on YouTube, if I remember correctly, her and Edu were actually walking around the training facility. And she even said, it's great to see a club like Arsenal integrate both men's and women's in one piece, all together. And I think she even said, it's not like the team I played for previously. Given the hint that clearly she felt welcome from the get-go. So hopefully even me, I'm in the bandwagon, Mary Herbs, hopefully, ting-ting, you know. I do like her, but I don't like when plays for United because, you know, we have a little bit of a not-so-friendly atmosphere at United, given, you know, men's as well, women's as well. Now, so it's kind of a bit like, yeah, we'll take your good luck. Thank you very much. We'll take what we can, you know, just pinch a few, you know. But yeah, I think we just need to be ruthless in terms of who we sign next as a striker thing. We need to realize, yeah, we want her, get her, by all means necessary now. No more slouching around, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And just finally, as you're taking a drink, Leo, I know you briefly wanted to talk about the WSL title race in itself. Is there anything else that you wanted to bring up on that matter?
No, it's a bit of a choker, really, isn't it? But... this is where, yeah, right, this is where, and I will say this is where we've got to keep the faith and keep the hope that something can happen in the men's race as well, because you've got to remember, when players hit the pitch, it's a totally different ball game. I don't believe in this day of era people set up not to win games, and I think we proved that on Sunday, and I've just fingers crossed that we can see the same, hopefully. obviously we'd rather Fulham done the business, but they don't, then I just still think that there's a slip up to be had. I know a lot of people don't believe that Tottenham would do it, but do you know what? And I'll put it this way: if Aston Villa don't beat Liverpool this week and Tottenham beat Burnley, Tottenham are well back in that title race. You see Crystal Palace last night, how highly they're performing. Aston Villa got going to Stella's Park last game of the season. So Tottenham might have to have a massive reason to go and beat Man City next Tuesday. And you can bet your bottom dollar that Daniel Levy does not want to be not in the Champions League next year, because it totally changes their transfer window. So, do you know what? We just got to keep the faith. And I just think that what we've proven in terms of that, or in that situation where I think there's a lot more beef in terms of what's happened with the two clubs this year in that final, I think we showed integrity by going out and winning that game on Sunday.
Yeah. And hopefully another one, I think with the men, we say it quite a lot, that we're ticking off these grounds that we've always been sticking. So I think we can take a lot of confidence from that win as well, despite, and you know, we want to keep winning games. We don't want to throw a game away, do we? No matter what.
No, it was an absolute.
We also don't want to see, you know, who lifts something.
It's painful. But you know what? It just shows you, yeah, right, that if we'd done the easy work in terms of the likes of Everton, West Ham, and Tottenham away, we could have easily been in this title race. It's a bit gutting, really, that we go and pulled out that performance on Sunday, and it doesn't affect us.
Yeah, a little bit too late, isn't it? But that's pretty much
top of the mini league for the three teams. But like, if you just look at the results, if you just look at the women's results versus Chelsea and City, you're probably top of that league of just the three teams. So it is, as Liam said, the results against the lesser lights that's cost the title, really, or cost even a chance of being competing for it coming down the stretch.
And I think there's parallels as well, as they say in the women's game that you don't lose three games and still win the title. It's that close. Where I think as well at the moment, we can't, in the men's game, you can see that you've got to be almost perfect to challenge City all the way as well, don't we? So
yeah,
it's one of those, but we'll take one title race still. that would just obviously tie up the game. We don't have a fixture this weekend, so the girls have got a weekend off. So obviously next week we'll look into the final game of the season against Brighton at home. Let's just go back to Saturday, home to Bournemouth, a nice 12:30 kickoff. I'll come to you first, Bray. Pretty much an unchanged team again. What did you make of it, and how are you with Partey being back, and how much stronger we've looked since his return?
Yeah, I think we were saying before the game, I think the team kind of just picks itself now. Obviously, three cup finals. Partey, yeah, he's the best at what he does when he's fully fit. And with game time, he's going to only improve, in my view. As I say, he's still a little bit away from it, but as I say, I think he's shown now where he's literally played. He had 90 minutes, didn't he? So two 90 minute games in a row, and you're suddenly thinking, well, he's got the fitness there now. But as I say, everything else picked itself at this minute. I can't see the any other change, really. Now for what we need to do in this mini tournament, that's what you could kind of do, can you? Just like three cup finals and just go and get maximum points and see where you end up. But yeah,
that's my take. About keeping the consistency now as well, isn't it? And the momentum going, that as we're picking up points and like the likes of Tomiyasu being back in the team, getting fitness.
You see the confidence. See the whole confidence about it all. Just even just the way like Trossard played with even Havertz. Just the contributions that that guy's had the last two, three games. And I'll tell you what, he's covering every blade of grass. He's working so hard. And to think that he got so many pelters, so much stick. Oh, I don't know. I'm not having it. But yeah, that's my team. That's my team for the rest of the season.
Absolutely. Quick question as well there. I'll come to you on that one, sir, because we've been talking about it yesterday, didn't we? And I think we'll both take the second option for sure.
Yeah, Elise is my number one target for a winger. The kid's the real deal. I know me and Mark had a bit of a conversation. He says that there are some injury concerns, and I do agree that one injury, but I don't think the club have helped him with that. Well, not the club, more the manager at the time, kind of supported him with that, especially at the latter part of the injury. But this kid can play in a number of positions. And when people say, well, you can't bring him in because Saka... Well, Saka can play on the left as well. At least they can play on the right. At least they can play through the middle. Do you know what I mean? There's different rotational ways you can play them. And you want the very best players coming to your club. And this guy is, what's he, 20, 21? Honestly, he's a kid who's got the world ahead of him. And I look at the Premier League right this moment of time. Man United apparently want him. Well, you're not getting him, right? They're not going to get him because do you know why they're not going to get him? Firstly, they're not in the Champions League. Secondly, this kid's
might even be in the Conference League.
Yeah. Secondly, this kid's got he's got his head switched on. If he didn't have his head switched on, he wouldn't have chosen Crystal Palace. He would have gone somewhere totally different. But he went to Crystal Palace because he knew that it'd be the best stepping stone for his career. And this kid would not want to play in the Conference League whatsoever. He's too good to play in the Conference League next year. And if he makes that move, there's only two clubs in the Premier League that can get him at the moment: Arsenal, Man City. End of story for me. I don't see Man United being in the race for him. Liverpool, they're going to be in transition period. I think that'd be too much of a risky move for him. I think we've got an incredible chance of getting this guy. And 60 million is his release clause. Do you look at Declan Rice, 100 million, 60 million is a snip. Like, go and get the deal done, Edu. Go and get it done. Eze, he's a great player, but I'm not sure he's what we need. And we could take him and he'd be really good, but I just feel that we're going to go and get a big centre midfielder and would play alongside Rice. I don't think Eze is a player that we would be looking for at this time.
Absolutely. Anyone else have any difference? Would you take Eze over Elise, Bez?
Just a quick one. I love Elise for what he does. His left foot is magnificent, but I'll say one thing, and if I'm anyone correct me if I'm wrong. Eze was actually in our youth team books, I think, quite a while back. So I've got a feeling he will not come back. He'll not come back. I've got a feeling. He'll not come back. He's one of the players. I don't think he'll come back to us.
Yeah, he was part of our academy. And basically, when he was at our academy, we let him go to Reading. And then Reading,
Palace. G and Ryan, pardon me. I don't mean to interrupt. Basically, I've got a feeling he will not come to us. Because part of me thinks he's got a little bit of a grudge. You can see when he plays against us, he's got a bit of a... Kind of like he throws a bit of an attitude, if I'm correct. I've seen him play against us. Doesn't look very pleased to play against us, from our seat.
Not necessarily a bad thing, though, either.
No.
Like, I don't want our players to be bosom buddies with the opposition either. So
exactly.
I don't think we go for him anyway, mate.
No, I don't think so either.
I don't think we go for him anyway.
Yeah.
Just on this question here, when he settles back up, he ain't going to be back up. No player that Arteta comes in is back up. Like, he will come in and he'll give good competition to some good positions. As I said, there's a number of positions that he can play.
That's the case next year as well. There's going to be plenty of football to play.
The biggest example is Trossard. He came in, everyone thought, oh, back up. Ramsey went on a podcast and said, no, he's coming here to take the position of Martinelli.
Yeah.
And so far, since he's been here, especially this season, it's been to and fro.
Yeah. Mm.
And he's actually, recently, he stepped up, he's scoring clutch goals for us. So it's competition. Yeah, initially, he might come in and not as number one, but if you have the right attitude, you don't know. Just because Saka or whoever's your first choice doesn't mean someone else could come along and not be show better and then overtake that person until that person then gets their head up their back for themselves and pushes on. It's all about competition. People, we're all of a certain age, we all remember the old, like the events 20 years ago, the squad we had back then. They all had something different to offer the squad and it was all competition. Yeah, you had on reason and all that, that was guaranteed starts, but your backups were still pushing them because then backups were good enough to start, but because the backup knew they were going to get the chance, there was no complaints, especially when you're competing. and we are competing. We are going in the right direction. People, as right, even though rivals don't like to say it, we are going in the right direction. Two seasons on the bounce now, and it looks like this year, touch wood, we're taking it to the wire.
Do you know one thing I would like? Do you know one thing I would like that we haven't done for years and years as well? Switch our wingers about. Right goes on to the left. Left goes on to the right. Do you know what I mean? They won't know what to do. Do you know what I mean? Like, we used to do that back in the day all the time, didn't we? We used to switch our wingers and they play where they want to. If we can get a player of his level in and he can switch with Saka and one can play on the left, one can play on the right and vice versa during the game. Like, I can only see it being better things for Arsenal. And we know how Arteta loves to play with his rotational play in terms of players going into different positions during the game, tactically. Honestly, I just think it's a no-brainer. I really, really do. I'm gonna start a petition up for it. I just think it's for the money being asked, who's going to pay us for Rafinha? This guy is only 21, 22. He's got so many years at his feet. Yeah, go and get him.
If we win a title, you'll be at the title parade with the banner.
Yeah, at least I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And I'll wind up my Palace mates while I'm there.
Two birds at one stone.
We could have Eze on the left and then Elise on the right, couldn't we?
That's a good point, though. He doesn't do it, Martinelli and Saka. I think he's lost hope. I think he's lost faith in Martinelli quite a bit, if I'm being frankly honest with you.
Yeah,
I think
we all
have that. Looks that way, doesn't it? I think it's that trust thing, isn't it? It's a trust without the ball. That's the key. I think it's just been
knowing Bayern Munich game.
Knowing when we're coming back. It was two games on the trot, wasn't it? It was the Villa game as well, wasn't it? But that's where the trust comes. If you can't trust them without the ball, then you're going to find
them. You're not getting money minutes.
Exactly. But just sort of heading back into Saturday's game. obviously, a lovely 3-0. It took a while to get going. We had quite a lot of attempts in the first half, but it wasn't really working for us. Obviously, we had that foul on Saka early on. Nothing given, as per usual. And then he obviously we get a penalty, and he tucks it away very nicely. First of all, Mark, what did you think of the first half? And do you think we should have been a bit more clinical than we were? Do you think we were a bit panicky in some way?
Definitely. We have to be more clinical. At halftime, we could easily have been 4-0. Easily. We were snatching at chances. One that sticks out to Rice missed a very good one just went by the post. Partey kicked one out of the stadium.
Standard.
That one is a glass,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. Usually he does it from 30 yards. This time it was from about 10 yards out. Just snatching at a couple of chances that could have given us a bit more breathing room. Like, that shouldn't have been a nervous second half at all, but it ended up being so, at least until Trossard scored. And then obviously the Ray incident, which I'm sure we'll come on to as well. But yeah, we were a bit snatchy with some of our chances in the first half, I felt. It should have been far more comfortable. It was what it was. I think it was important we got the penalty just before halftime. I think the ground could have got very, very nervous if we got to halftime at 0-0. Similar to what happened against Villa, I suppose. That transmits onto the field. Everyone, the crowd is really nervous. You better do something about this. Just the penalty just settled everyone down and got to the half time in front, but as I said, it should have been more.
Biz, did you get that sense as well that the crowd was sort of, I know you were watching it from the pub, but did you get the sense that the crowd was sort of feeling a bit anxious towards the end of the first half?
Anxious the right word, but also I felt a bit like all this tempo, surely something will happen, and eventually, you know, the pen came. But what I noticed as well, something about this team as well, it's wonderful to see that they still push on. They feel that the fans is behind them, and a beautiful day to match, I'm not gonna lie. And also just feel like it's Arsenal, please. I literally was praying and I told people before the game and before I met you guys, and I said, please, I know another Bournemouth 3-2, because last year that Bournemouth 3-2 was not the most, like, as the overall game was beautiful last year. This year was one of the nice, calm one. And the way we kind of like, how can I say this word? We kind of learned a lesson, you know, like we held back a bit. We didn't let them too much sniff of the ball. And then the penalty came as it come, despite what other people were saying. I'm not going to even justify what they're going to say, because obviously it's always anti-Arsenal bias now. Because so many times, and I'll repeat this, and I'm sure I'll get a lot of relative comments about it. How many times we've been on the wrong end of these refereeing decisions? How many times have we seen us suffer years gone by? I can do a whole basically A4 page if I have to. And people still say, this man is diving. This man is doing this. I'm sorry, but how many times do you hear other teams do what they do? And first of all, can I just say, without me dwelling too much, I want to give our people in our group to have a chance to speak about it. Please tell me, that foul on Saka, and I'll say to my mates, and I'll say it again, why did it just feel that my man just came from war zone and the referee just didn't even protect him? I just feel like, for the life of me, at least check it. Tell your mates in the VR room, what was that? Like, surely the ref can see that there was a dirty challenge. Check it out. Give it more time. But just simply be, they checked it, put it in the bin. Nothing doing. You know, move on. Very disappointing from these officials, you know, not even have a proper careful look, shall we say, to give a player like Saka protection, you know?
Did they even check it?
No. It was very mealy, very mealy.
Free kick.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a very high...
No, I don't know if we played advantage, but there was no free kick given.
Nothing, yeah. Nothing.
But it seems like those sort of challenges are going every single week now, aren't they? And nothing is being given anymore. It, yeah. Whereas a couple of seasons ago, that's a red card.
Yeah. It's like we've had three now in recent weeks. There's one against Chelsea, one against Wolves, and that one on Saturday, and not one has been a red card. So you're kind of going, what's going on? Like,
I don't even, VAR's I genuinely don't to, know to what intervene. Red card is anymore. Because there's always an excuse of there, but it's down on the ankle, and it's, it used to be like, if that's right below your knee, that could break your leg, so that was a goner. But now it's like, well, he hasn't intended to, and he's just following through, and there's so many excuses now, where actually it's a dangerous challenge.
He wasn't carrying a shotgun, or,
certainly someone's leg or ankle can't overall, or even, you know, but the ones we saw, like, against Chelsea, that was Havertz, weren't it? And
Havertz was Wolves. Tommy Asu was Chelsea.
And you see the ankle bending under like a foot, and you're suddenly saying it is out. It's endangering an opponent. It might not be meant, but it's endangering. So the letter of the law. That's no matter what it is, it's happened. So
that's like it's one of those brave plays. If he had a broken his leg, then it would have been a red card. So. Why is a challenge that could have broken his leg not a red card? Just because Tomiyasu was lucky enough not to suffer a serious injury in that case. The guy shouldn't get off with a warning or a yellow. You know,
you look at the RB being tackled the way he did.
All those just years ago,
his leg or his ankle, whatever that. It's not saying that he's going to get a yellow card or a red card just because of that. The player's still down on the floor. He's still going around.
That particular official works for Sky every Monday on RefWatch. make it make sense. Someone, please.
Pavo.
It's not making sense when they suddenly decided to get an ex-rubbish referee on a TV program to then justify rubbish decisions and then try to kind of just smooth it over. And then it didn't make sense either.
Can I please add this? Sure, you guys who watch the game live, and I mean, hopefully they don't give me a strike myself over this. TNT Sports, the commentator, not the lady, and I can say the man's name if you guys allow me to. He literally even said, if Bournemouth get a goal, it will make such a difference. I've never seen a commentator really trying to G up a game so much to almost try to influence the game to say, come on, Bournemouth, you can get a goal, you can get the game. You get out of control. Arsenal are being a bit hasty. I'm thinking for the life of me.
They all love it.
Gary Neville must have draw money on the draw at the Spurs game the week before as well.
Oh, please. Pathetic.
Relentless, isn't it? But obviously, just going back to the game, the second half, a lovely little flick from Declan Rice and a brilliant finish again from Leandro Trossard. again, making an impact from starting. We did say a few weeks ago, is always when he comes from the bench, he's starting to have the impact better than when he starts a game. But he is starting to change that around and be impactful when he is taking the shirt from the get-go. Ryan, what do you make of his contributions and how important they've been since he's obviously joined the club?
I think last week I was on there, literally talking about Trossard, and I said that, for me, he's our best finisher in our squad. He's our best finisher. And Saturday proved it. The fact he wants the ball. He's shouting for the ball, and then it comes through. He doesn't even take the touches. Goes, okay, coming to me. Open up your body. Bang. And the goal gets Brighton. This is a goes, okay, take it down. Dink it. Thank you very much. For the amount of games he has played this season in all comps, in terms of being mainly a sub, the occasional start here and there, he's actually, his goals and assists are up there as one of the best in our squad at the moment. When we did get him, obviously, as in the midst of missing out on Mudrik and all that. But I looked at it at the time, I thought, you know what, he's Premier League proven. He's played the league inside out. He can score goals. He knows where to play. He can play anywhere across the front three or four, depending on the formation. He just wants the ball. He just thrives attacking. Wants to attack and attack and attack. And you want players like that. And the fact that we were saying earlier that obviously he's coming. He wants Martinelli's spot or whoever's spot. He didn't care whose spot he took. He wanted it. But he's never complained. He gets on with it, and he's the utmost professional. And I loved the guy. I liked him at Brighton, and the fact that we got him for like 3.5 million. I know there's implications because it led to that price, but it's a bargain when you consider the club was apparently going to spend £100 million on an unproven, Vorjevic-backed kid from another league. Yeah. As we have seen, I know it's Chelsea, but he hasn't worked out so far. He's Premier League proven. He's 27, 28, whatever it is. We need. Not, it's all well and good having kids and all that, but you do need experience as well. And he, along with Jorginho and others, give that experience and that hunger. That hunger to want to win as well. He isn't just coming for a paycheck, like we've seen in years gone by, and Mustafi's and all that. I love the guy. He's an absolute quality player.
Yeah, absolutely. And as I mentioned again, obviously Declan Rice providing an assist, but then got a really cheeky goal in the 97th minute. Liam, I don't know how much you remember of it, but at the start of that phase, he's all the way back with our defenders. And somehow he gets, in the 97th minute, the whole pitch, and then has a really tidy finish like he did. And obviously, yeah, player of the match. I think there's just no words for him, is it? Apart from we got him half price.
Oh, we got him half price. All right. I could have told you that when we was paying 105 million for him. I'll continue to say this, and I don't care what any West Ham fan thinks either. But this guy, you pay 30 to 50 million just on his leadership alone, even before you start looking at the player himself. This guy is a born winner, okay? You look at the difference between West Ham last year to West Ham this year. Their own manager come out in an interview on Sunday and said the reason why we're getting thumped is because of Declan Rice. Now, when David Moyes says that, he doesn't say that half-heartedly. He says that because he believes that, because he knows how much this bloke's worth to that West Ham team. He also knows how much he's now worth to this Arsenal team. And he's only going to get better. And when I look at the player that he was when he first came into the player I see now, he's just influencing games in totally different aspects. Like I thought we was getting him to come in to be that number six who potentially could go box to box. But what he's done in the space of 6 to 8 months is put more goals into his locker. And we're not talking about tap-ins, do you know what I mean? We're talking about a 30-yarder at Chelsea. We're talking about a 25-yarder at West Ham. You're going into other people's stadiums in London where it's hostile, and he's doing that. He does it against his former team. Bangs a 25-yarder in like there's no tomorrow. But Saturday, I've got to be honest with you, I thought between him and Martin Odegaard, I thought they were both just on another level. And I'd always go back, right, to 3 years ago. West Ham 3, Arsenal 3. The two best players on that pitch that day, and this was when Martin Odegaard was on loan, was Declan Rice and Martin Odegaard. Okay. It was and I remember, I never would have dreamt at any point, at that point, that these two would be playing in our midfield for us. And they're only like 20, 23 and 25, is that correct? Something like that? They're not even nowhere near their peak at the moment. And what Thomas Partey is an incredible centre midfielder. He's an incredible centre midfielder, but unfortunately, he's unreliable. Once we get the player in, next player in, that Arteta sees fits the bill, I just think that we're going to go and dominate the Premier League, honestly. I don't see how we don't dominate the Premier League. Like, whatever happens this year, we're only going to be better next year. And when I look at Declan Rice and I look at Martin Odegaard, I just think we're so, so lucky, honestly. Like, you got the pair of them for 104, you got the pair of them for £135 million. Now, tell me how much they're worth. Tell me how much they're worth. Because they're not worth £135 million between a pair of them. We're talking probably £300 million above. Mm-hmm. And that's on two centre midfielders. But he's outrageous. He's absolute outrageous, Declan Rice. He's only going to get better. He's only going to get better. And the final thing I'd say here, how many centre midfielders do you see around the world where you've got two leaders like them two? They're both leaders.
Yeah.
And in any other team, Declan Rice would be the captain.
Yeah.
I fully agree. A sensational man. And I still can't believe he plays for us. Like, that whole thing is just blows my mind. The money we spend, we obviously aren't used to that. But long may it continue for the right people, because he has changed everyone within that team, I think. He brings a little cheekiness out of everyone. But, yeah, just to sort of finish up on the game the other day before we head into United, it was confirmed from the clean sheet the other day that David Raya has won the Golden Glove. I think that's pretty massive, considering he's obviously had his on loan. He's come away from Brighton, been sort of second choice straight away, but then thrown into the Champions League, did what he did in the Champions League for us. To have the Golden Glove this season, I think, just speaks volumes on his character. Mark, do you agree on that?
Absolutely. I think as the season has progressed, we can see why he's been brought in. He just brings a level of calmness and assuredness to, I think, particularly the four guys in front of him. Like, even the Spurs game, where he did make that massive howler, there was two or three balls into the box fairly quickly after that. He commanded his area really well, came and claimed him, and just calmed everything down. I think any doubters that were out there, I think, have been fairly well silenced by now. A very astute signing by Arteta and Edu again to bring him in, and I think it's going to be confirmed as a permanent move. I think all the criteria has been met for that, and we're going to get him for less than £30 million, which again is not huge money for a goalkeeper. He's under 30, so you're looking at him probably for 6-7 seasons as our number one, if his form stays as it is. So yeah, very astute signing, and has been very, very important in our run, particularly the second half of the season.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And sort of the same thing over to you, Bray, as well. Maybe sometimes goalkeepers go a little bit unnoticed and their value, because you're talking about how good Gabriel and Saliba have been, or how good Saka, Odegaard, Rice have been. But how impressed are you with how he sort of settled into the club and just sort of taking it in his wing? And I can't even remember the last time we were ever close to getting a goal. Was it probably Petr Cech, wasn't it? Which is still in itself quite a long time ago.
Yeah, look, the guy had a hugely pressurised kind of start to the career, didn't he? We come in, he's upsurped a proper favourite. And he's had to deal with that, a lot of that pressure, really, in all honesty, and he's had to come in and kind of go over that. Two really good goalkeepers, Ramsdale as well, but he's going to give us money for the summer. There's no question about it now. We're talking about probably saleable assets for the summer. Ramsdale obviously makes that that bit of money, doesn't he? So that's going to help us for next year. But I think he's been very assured, Raya. Every time you see it, look, only that Tottenham game where it was like recently where he's had a proper ricket, I'd say. But again, that's just an error. Yeah, I mean, how many times? Look, even it was at the weekend, wasn't it? Even Gabriel played that little pass back, didn't he? He didn't play the pass at the right thing, and then luckily Raya was onto it and played it back out again. So it goes to show it's just unfortunately that position on the pitch where no one can save you as a goalkeeper if you make that kind of mistake or that little error. It's part of being a goalkeeper at the end of the day, those kind of things. But he's been solid, given that, and assured. And I think that's what we needed as well. The quality of the back four helps, but as I say, you still need that little calm head behind the scenes just to kind of be conducting it. So, yeah, proper right decision.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's head into Sunday. I don't know about you guys, but this is the one I hate the most.
Sorry, guys. I would like to say first, though, before we do that, there is a better partnership than Rice and Odegaard. There is a better one.
Oh, God.
Excuse all the water drip down me at the time, but yeah.
That's £300 million as well, isn't it?
Nah, that's £400 million. If they're 300, that's 400.
So much for smugness. I keep saying that in my own tweet as well, right?
And the people loved it as well.
Yeah, exactly. That.
No, it was good to see you after a long time. Too long, but we'll be back again next weekend. So plenty more smug pictures to come.
Absolutely, hopefully. <They'll be surprised laughs> I'll even send them over to Gav. He can put them on his highlight reel.
Send it to me. I'll send it to him on Discord. It'll be all good.
Yeah, very nice.
We need Mr. Austin with us as well. We need him there as a present as well now. And Brace.
Oh, trust me. If the miracle happens, May 20th on my birthday, I'm there.
I should be there for a game. Hopefully, I don't get totally let down. Hopefully, yeah. Hopefully, everything goes as we want.
As we want. Yeah. But obviously, we've got United first, game by game. Ryan, like I said just a minute ago, this is one of the ones I hate at the best of times, let alone at this stage. And to me, it doesn't matter how shit they've been last night or all season, because you know that they are going to turn up in some capacity, even if it's just for 20 minutes. They're going to turn up, and we haven't had, again, good results there in previous years either. So what are your thoughts heading into it?
First off, will they turn up? Will they actually turn up? Casemiro?
I'm trying to make myself not look stupid, just in case.
Oh, I understand that. I'm actually genuinely going into this, looking forward to it. I think this is our best opportunity of where they are in general, but form-wise, this is our best opportunity to finally get our own back on them for the 8-2, the 6-1s of the years gone by. Put to them what they did to us in their moments and avenge. And again, really rub salt in the wound and send Ten Hag to Bayern Munich or wherever he ends up going on a absolute battering, basically. All jokes aside, I don't see him turning up on Sunday. They've got next to no defence, literally. Mm. And what they have got is a 35-36-year-old Johnny Evans, a 35-36-year-old CDM playing centre-back in Casemiro, who can't play centre-back, and their fullbacks are just they can't defend anyway. They do well going forward, but defending they can't do. So they've got a midfield that's non-existent. I think this is the perfect opportunity for us to get a goal. No matter what happens on Saturday in the other game, is get our goal, keep the pressure on Man City and keep that goal difference between us and them comfortable. Yeah. I don't want to give my score prediction yet, but you might not like it. But I'm very confident.
Yeah. We'll get to them in a little bit. But you make a good point there. Of obviously we're playing last this weekend. Obviously City are playing first at 12:30 away to Fulham. Mark, do you think that has? I know we've obviously said in weeks before that the half 12 is probably the best time to go because you're going first, you set the standards, yeah. You're not chasing. But do you think this is, with knowing that City have also got that extra game as well, do you think it's a chance of us to look at what's happening and then get out there and perform no matter what?
Yeah, well, we have to perform. Even if City, whatever City do against Fulham, we have to win regardless. So the City win, which is the most likely result, just does put that bit more pressure on us, because obviously we know any slip up means that they'll probably win the title on Tuesday night at Spurs. So we just have to go and win. Ryan's already outlined a lot of reasons why that should happen. So I'm not going to repeat that, but yeah, as I always feel, and it's something that going first is a massive advantage. You set down the marker at the start of the weekend. The other teams then have to match you. Even if you drop points, they're under massive pressure to take advantage of the fact that you have. So, as I always feel, going first is a big advantage coming down the stretch in whether it's a top four race, relegation or title race. When you're in a competition, everybody going first is a big advantage.
Liam, do you think that play in our minds a little bit, or do you think they'll be not really too bothered what's going on elsewhere, and we're in that frame of mind now that we know that we can't afford to make it any mistakes?
No, I think the team know that it's a must win whatever happens. It's a must win if Man City win just to take the game to the last game of the season. It's a must win if they draw, because do you know what? Then we've got their chance to then be above them on goal difference. And if we beat Man United and they draw, we increase our goal difference, which then it makes it virtually impossible for Man City to overtake us on goal difference. And it's a must win, obviously, if they lose, because it makes it even easier for us, even though we still have to go and beat Everton last game of the season. So whatever way you look at it, the only result we can do is win to keep ourselves in a title race. Nothing less is going to be good enough. And we'd known that 3 or 4 games ago. So I don't think it changes the mindset whatsoever and the motto. I don't want to get too ahead of myself, because we've been there with the Old Trafford piece. Don't get me wrong. They're in a bad, bad place at the moment. And I don't think the manager's helping the situation whatsoever. I don't think certain players not helping the situation whatsoever. The only thing that worried me a little bit was after the game, I thought the fans and Man United fans have always been notoriously really good away from home. I thought it was incredible, because I sat there when Arsenal got thumped 3-0 at Crystal Palace when Hector Bellerin got it, and it was a total different reaction. And they could have easily got that last night. So that might be the only reason I roll up these Man United boys to turn up Sunday. But is that enough with the team that they've got at the moment? It shouldn't be in the form that we're in, because the way I look at it, we press from the front. If they got Casemiro and Johnny Evans at centre back and we're pressing from the front like that, I suppose my Palace mate goes, you're thumping 6-7 goals. I don't want to say that though, do you know what I mean? Because they could go on face, there could be things could come out and all that kind of stuff. But there's never been a better time to go to Old Trafford. But even if it was the wrong time to go to Old Trafford, we have to win. We have to stay in the title race. We have to force Man City into a situation on Tuesday against Tottenham that they're going to have to win as well. Like, if we don't win the league and we win our next two games, do you know what? We tried our very best. The squad would just come up a little bit short. I just don't want to be going into the last game of the season that the toll race is over, because I don't think the players deserve that. I don't think they deserve that whatsoever. And it is, lastly, what I say is it is a shame, because do you know what? What would have lost us to the Premier League, yeah, right, if we do lose it by that point? It's basically being stuck in between them Bayern Munich games and not knowing whether to stick or twist.
Mm.
And it's gutting. Fulham, for me, is the ultimate one. But when I look at it, but then I also look at it, if we'd beaten Aston Villa, would we have been so kind of eager to kind of turn it back round? Do you know what I mean? Yet again, like, we might have been complacent a game or two after. So these things happen, don't they? But it's that Aston Villa game's a stickler, because I just think the reason we lose that game is because Arteta tried to kind of rotate the team slightly, because it was in between the Bayern Munich games, and it was the only time we've taken Havertz out of up front and we didn't win the game because of it.
Yeah. And Bez, just going into, obviously, Sunday, these are the games where titles are won, aren't they? If there's anything else to get up for it, that's it. That's the occasion.
Occasion, yes, but I keep just saying Old Trafford 2002 in my head. In my head, I'm saying Old Trafford 2002 in my head, you know, simply be what Liam is saying. For me as well, I just want to outgun the Red Devils, considering how much, you know, old enemy has, you know, hardships, you know, tough defeats. I don't even remind myself anymore, because you guys said enough, but literally I just feel like this time, just put squad right to say to them, we're better than you, keep the, you know, the ball rolling, keep the game flowing, keep the same intensity. Arteta knows, and the team knows, and we know as fans, the intensity we have, the resilience we're showing now, and I completely echo what Liam is saying, how we, through that little, you know, period, we had the Bayern Munich games, and then we had the Villa game, which again is a tough knock, really, given what the squad's been through. And to stay resilient to this period, I do feel hopefully we go to the end of the season, as Liam is saying, just to push on and let's end the season stronger, you know? Because surely it will give this team, this squad, a huge lift. You consider a couple of years ago, the loft is top of the league. Now, how we're transforming, and hopefully, fingers crossed again, we'll just keep going up and up. And hopefully, once City really puts their handbrake on and we do our thing, we'll be forced to be reckoned with, and hopefully we can, you know, push on for better things. And I really hope Arteta sees that he has a squad they can not say word rotate, but say he can play around with, and also as well they can trust everyone to play the way. And also, all I want, and I'm sure you guys said it before, let's have the players having some freedom. Let them be themselves. Well, again, let them be themselves. Nothing more than that, because they're a very disciplined bunch, and I'm happy to see them this year. They've been very disciplined despite some decision not going our way, you know, which is quite annoying. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, exactly. And Bray, just touching on the goals, maybe without being too big-headed of it, an opportunity to not revenge the 8-2, but to make a stance, to set our mark, and then, because six goals in it now, is a bit ropey for me. I felt a bit more comfortable last week, but now on six goals with this game, do you think it's that's also another mark that the lads will be looking at, thinking, you know, if we can get one early one, settle in, do what we did against Bournemouth, finish off the game, a couple more, add in those tallies without conceding. Do you think that's going to be part of their game plan as well?
I don't know. I've been through enough trips to Old Trafford to realise and understand what the task is going to be, no matter what kind of stage they're in or what kind of state they're in. Ultimately, start well and do the job, get the 3 points. Yeah, I couldn't care less if we go out and we suddenly whack in 4 or 5 goals as opposed to just 1-0 or whatever. Yeah, it is a little bit shaky because, yeah, we do know City can score goals, certainly being the West Ham last game of the season. I got my reservations. I don't know. I want us to go and do well. And I think if we do get on early and we have a real good tempo. And I was at the Dogs last night in Harlow, and a West Ham fan was behind the tote stand, and he was saying, is it over? I said, well, look, I think we're both going to win all our matches. I think it's done. I think that's my honest opinion. And he goes, oh, football's a funny game. Remember when Man United had to go to West Ham? He's a West Ham fan. He goes, oh, yeah. West Ham win to stay up, and they went and beat him, and then cost Man United the title, didn't they? So, so he said, yeah, it's never over. So, yeah, it is football. We start well and we start real high intensity, then we've got every chance. But I know always, it don't matter how bad they're playing, mm-hmm. they always seem to have that little flippy thing on us, which just goes against everything. And yeah, I'd love it. I'd love an 8-2. But yeah, we've got to be real. I'm just saying, yeah, 3 points is just a must. I don't care how it is.
Here's a question, Bray. What happens, yeah, right? Man City get a draw on Saturday for whatever reason, yeah, right?
Yeah.
That pressure becomes even more, don't it?
Yeah, 100%.
That pressure becomes even more. But
yeah.
If we then got a win against, say we went and got a win against Man United, I think that would just totally deflate Man City then. Like, I don't see that happening, but do you know what? I don't think it's over, mate. I might be deluded. There's something inside me that's telling me at the moment this ain't over. I'm listening to every single person telling me it's over, it's over, it's over. I just don't think it is.
Yeah, I've said for a few weeks, I just said it. I was more confident on the Spursy, or the biggest Spursy moment of all time. And obviously Spurs losing the must-win cup final against us, and then winning their must-not-win.
Yeah.
And that would be the ultimate Spursy moment to give us the title. And yeah, look, football is a funny game. And yeah, we do hold on to it. But as I say, it's one of those, you just think, what's up against them? You suddenly just think, oh, yeah, I really just have not got any. There's not even like any kind of like real slight kind of, I think they are actually playing quite good stuff, any of them. It's just like, yeah, I don't know. West Ham, I think, could concede about 12. I don't know. Just the way they are. They're absolutely, absolutely woeful. Tottenham just can't defend.
I think the positive thing is, though, I think the positive thing with the Spurs game, yeah, right? People keep saying that Spurs ain't going to do nothing because of the rivalry. I don't agree a bit. Because like these players are played to play for the shirt, and we know Daniel Levy loves money more than anything. So
if next season as well, don't forget.
Yeah, right. If Spurs go and beat Burnley, as I said, right, and Aston Villa don't get the result against Liverpool, which is quite likely at the moment because Aston Villa have got a big conference game on Thursday, that pushes Spurs right back in the mix, mate, and they have to go and win that game as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. They have to go and win that game. There's no way they can sit there and go. It's like if Tottenham were going for the league, yeah, right, and we had to play Man City and we was going to get into the Champions League, we'd have to go for it. As players, we'd have to go for it. As fans, we'd be stuck in fucking limbo. But as players, they have to go for it. And I bought that Nottingham Forest game away, Man City, Nottingham Forest. Forest had enough chances to equalise in that game. I just think that Spurs got better players than Nottingham Forest, and they can score goals, Tottenham. And if they got the chances that Chris Wood got, I think it could be another story. Just putting it out there. I know you're all sitting there all defeated and beating up and think it's over. It ain't fucking over yet. It ain't over, right? Till the 96th or 95th minute in the last game of the season if we go and beat Man United.
I'm just going to say that 10 o'clock in the morning, Willian is at Fordham training ground flying kites. That was my Debbie Downer today. I was like, what are you doing?
I don't personally see Fulham being the team that do it if I'm being totally honest, but if they do it, they do it. I was about to say,
sorry, you say that, but literally when City went to Forest a couple of weeks ago, the amount of chances City gave Forest that Fulham team would take.
You say me Tottenham team would take that? They score goals, mate. Whatever we say, they score goals.
Sonwood, the challenge, yeah. Maybe. We've got the players to do it. It's just a matter of...
You'd have Richarlison playing in that match, wouldn't you?
I'd have Richarlison and Madison. I'll pick their team for him if you want on that game, mate.
We'll get GoFundMe to get Harry Kane back for one more game.
What I can't do is not believe. Do you know what I mean? What I can't do is not believe. I can't not believe that Fulham are going to do it. I can't not believe that Tottenham are not going to do it. And I'll even go into the last game and be deluded as anything and tell you the reasons why West Ham can't do it. You know what I mean? Send Dave Moyes out on the greatest note. Antonio, like, do you know what I mean? Declan Rice will be on it to them boys anyway. He's going to tell them to do it, and they're going to do it for us. I'm going to be deluded all the way. But I don't know. It's just something niggling me right at that. In a root core, mate, it's telling me it's not over yet. It's not over yet. But we've got to go and do the business at Manchester United. That's the first and foremost thing. Whatever happens anywhere else, we have to get 3 points.
It's all right in order.
You've got to ask a question of all these years that Man City put themselves in a position. The last game, they're in control. They get over the line one way or the other. How many more times can they get away with it? Because was it a couple of years ago, the 2-0 down Aston Villa the last game, they almost threw it away then.
Yeah.
How many more times can they get away with it? So
surely there's got to be some time it changes, isn't there?
Touch wood. May 19th. Touch wood.
And if it ain't this year, it's going to be next year.
Yeah.
I'd say there's only one game that I've said that has fallen. I said this on Saturday, Liam, before the game. I said there's only one game that we've fallen below the standards like we were like last season, and that was Fulham away.
Yeah.
And then you suddenly say, even at all the games that we've kind of we've dropped points, I think we've competed well and we've played decent stuff. It's just whether or not taking chances and converting the chances what we've created. That's one of those. Yeah,
that is what it is. Like you look at Aston Villa away, Aston Villa at home, West Ham at home, Newcastle away. We haven't scored goals. That's 4 games where we scored 0 goals, mate. Get a striker in there next year. Do you know what I mean? I actually think if we had Kai Havertz up there from the start, and I was one of them who said that I thought we should have played up top. After seeing him against Man City in the Champions League, I never understood why we didn't play him up top. But now we've got Kai Havertz up there. If we had played them 4 games again, I reckon we'd at least got at least another 6 points. At least.
Just in the chemistry now, that's, again, it's all we talk about, like new players coming in, and it takes a little bit of time to get used to styles. It takes used to get used to the player relationships. Is it this time where he's now starting to then suddenly click in? And because we're not rotating, it's becoming a bit more fluid, isn't it? I think all of them, and you look at it like that, and you're suddenly thinking, well, okay, early in the season, you mean, put it up there, he still hasn't got the confidence. I don't know. I think maybe it's just all starting to click now. And we're certainly playing a bit more controlled and a bit more. We're there and we've got everyone playing, haven't we?
I think Havertz going up top is a big thing, mate.
Yeah.
I think, like, we know, mate, if Timber had not got injured, if Partey's not got injured and stayed in centre midfield, like everyone tells us today that we've had no injuries. Well, wait a minute, Partey's been out the whole season. Timber's been out the whole season. We're talking about these two players. They're fully fit the whole season. Do you know what? The league would have been over about 3-4 games ago. We would have won the league. We wouldn't have lost to Aston Villa. We wouldn't have lost at Newcastle with this team. We certainly wouldn't have picked 1 point out of 6 out of Fulham. Do you know what I mean? The only reason we didn't beat Tottenham at home is because Declan Rice went off injured at half-time. And then we lost our shape in centre-mid in the second half. Like, we've got the team there, mate. And you can see now we've got the team there. We've got the team plan, apart from Timber. The results are coming, but I do think Kai Havertz going up there has added such a different dimension to our game, and it's brought the best out of so many different players, like, moving forward. But also Thomas Partey, do you know what I mean? Like, him coming back in that team is just absolutely massive, and I think he's set up for this weekend, Thomas Partey. I think this weekend is when we'll see the best of Thomas Partey again. I'm going to put it out now. I reckon he'll be man of the match on Sunday.
I think I'll put it in the comments. I think Q a 25-yard Thomas Partey screamer after the shot over the bar.
He's the man for Sunday, mate. He's the man for Sunday. He's the man we needed to go to Bayern Munich. We're being totally honest. But, well, I don't know. Maybe Arteta thought it was too soon at the time. He's the manager. He picks the team. Do you know what I mean? But I think we're going to see the best of Partey on Sunday.
Was
I think he'll hold a game.
Brilliant. Was he man of the match when we beat, I think, United 1-0 2019, if I'm correct. Was it? Yeah.
2020.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, he's man of the match. The
closed door game. Yeah.
Unbelievable that day. That was in an empty stadium, though, weren't it?
That stadium.
Yeah, he's going to let 70,000 fans watch him do it this time around.
Here comes the smugness. Here it comes. It's racing to the
same. I'm getting some too, because I'm wearing my team as well.
Honestly, I think he'll be the difference on. Well, I don't even know about the difference on Sunday, but I think you'll see the very best of him Sunday.
Yeah.
Let's hope so. We'll just really quickly before we wrap up, go around and, as we always do, get some score predictions. Ryan, I'll come to you first.
Yay!
You wanted to say it.
You've given it a big build-up, Ryan. Come on.
You're not going to like it, but I'm going 10. 10-0. I'm going to go for the record. After what I saw last night, before last night, I would have took 2-0, 3-0, I'd have taken. After what I saw against Palace and the players...
Are you thinking I'd be Martin?
They just gave up. they did nothing. There was no effort. It was just worse than what we've ever been in. And that's saying something. I'm going to order 10. I want the record. I want no mercy.
He actually went 10-0 at Sheffield United.
I did, actually. It should have happened.
Before I do my prediction, is there any? Has there been any talk of like players coming back into the team for Sunday for Man United?
No.
I saw something yesterday saying four of them would, but they didn't say who. Just said four players will be available again.
There's a difference between being available and being fit, though, isn't there? If you're talking about Ferran, Luke Shaw, they'll be available, but they haven't had no match fitness.
The only one I can see coming back in is Bruno Fernandes. He's only missed one game. The others, as you said, they're all long term injuries, haven't played in quite a while. They're not going to come straight back into the team.
What about Rashford?
He hasn't played since Coventry City, and it was a hamstring.
Yeah. I think he'll play if he's fit. I think they'll put Rashford in. That's only 3-4 weeks ago, isn't it?
It's
a hamstring. Like Mark says, it's a hamstring. It's like, Ten Hag, is he that bitter? He wants to risk someone's hamstring for a cup final.
I just don't think he can play. Surely he can't play Casemiro centre back again. Surely not.
Who he has available. Like, Maguire won't be there. Lindelof hasn't played in months. Varane hasn't played in months. Shaw hasn't played in months. Martinez played 20 minutes against Brentford, but hasn't played other than that in months. So he really is kind of, he has who he has, and it's more or less what played last night.
The reason I'm going 10 is because Casemiro's playing centre back, because he looks so woke, because he's looked so out of place. But we've got the players, the personnel to utilise that.
The thing was, I was talking to someone today at work because they were a Man United fan, and I was saying, you would at least refer to three at the back, wouldn't you? And put Wan-Bissaka as one of the centre backs.
In this situation,
he's got pace. His tackling's unbelievable. No one gets past him. Like, you'd set yourself up to not at least get ruined like that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, don't get embarrassed.
Where Sunday, this is what he's got to start thinking now, because as I said, the press game of ours is incredible. And if they put that team out, as I said, my mate, he texts me today and he goes, I honestly think Arsenal put 7 or 8 past him. He was Palace fan. He goes, I can't see anything. But you know what it's like. Like, I don't want to think that. And I'm going to, my score prediction I'm going to go for is, I'm going to go 3-0 at the moment. I'm going to keep on the non-El Smuggo side. But I've even got a feeling they might score a goal, to be fair. I'm gonna go 3-1. I'm gonna go 3-1 Arsenal. If we win one more, mate, then it's even better.
Yeah. Des, what are you thinking?
I'm finding lots of numbers in my head, but since it's something in my head, so maybe a 4-0 would be nice.
4-0. Yeah. Mark?
I'm gonna dampen expectations just a little bit. I'm gonna go 2-0.
Yeah. Fair enough. Bray?
I'm going to go 2-1. I've just had a quick look and they've got 3, 6, 7, 8 players all saying on the Premier Injuries site due to come back this weekend. So you're looking at Martinez, Varane, Shaw, Rashford, McTominay, Fernandes, and Martial. And Lindelof, potentially. So yeah, all at different stages, but they're all kind of earmarked potentially to, yeah.
Hell, we ain't going to start though, are they?
Yeah, well, look, we've seen it with us, haven't we? Where we've kind of had players that we've due to come back, and we've kind of played it. It might be a bad thing. It might be a good thing for them. I mean,
they have a cup final in 2 weeks as well.
That's it. Again, it's what they value is the biggest one. They're not going to get into the Champions League.
They've got three games still, haven't they? They've got Newcastle.
Yeah, they play Newcastle Wednesday night as well. Yeah.
So I think they're done for. They're not going to get anywhere near, are they?
I think they should rest. Like, I know this is not me being biased, but I think if they're sitting there thinking like these players coming back, yeah, bring one or two of them back. But I'd be giving them as much rest as I possibly can with the two games, Newcastle and the last game of the season. I think that they'd be best not throwing them all in the deep end. But
that's it. Anyone gets injured against us is gone for the cup final.
Yeah,
that's or sent off.
I'll go one more second. Just play the kids. So play the kids against us, see what happens.
Well, they did that before, unfortunately, didn't they? And ended the title run.
Yeah, Rashford scored a hat trick. Yeah.
Different mentality back then.
That'd be our luck when they play the kids and we lose.
And we learned anything from the women's game on the weekend. Don't rotate. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, please, no.
Yeah,
no random subs coming in, please.
Keep it as it was, Vern.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm with Mark. I was going to go 2-0 as well. I think it'd be an early goal and a just after halftime type of job, and then protect what we have. Yeah. I'm going for a clean sheet, of course.
Yeah, Liam.
Oh, I'm going to go for a David Rea slip. That'll roll you up a little bit more. I just thought, like, I'm going to go 3-1. I don't know. I can see us conceding a go up there. But I think we've got too much in our tank going forward.
You're saying this, and then come Sunday, you'll come on and go, 4-5, come on, let's do it.
Oh, well, David, do it, right? Then I'll start congratulating you all on such broad predictions.
No, so not just
5 minutes. And yeah, you'd be like,
not by 10, though.
Mate, we'd be 3-0 up, mate. We'll still make a game of it, just like Spurs.
Yeah. I mean, that pretty much sums up the show for this evening, I think. First of all, Ryan, thank you for joining us this evening.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
No worries at all. Bray, thank you for joining us. And also, obviously, we're both on each other's channels at the moment as well. So thank you for that.
That's all good. Yeah, thanks for having us on. It's been a really good show.
No worries at all. And Mark, thank you for joining.
No problem at all. Thanks a million for having me on.
No worries. Bez, thank you again. You're a regular with us now.
Of course. You're part of the family. UTA.
And obviously, last but not least, my co-host, Liam, thank you, as always, for your help throughout the show.
Absolute pleasure, and congratulations to yourself on a great show again.
Thank you. And obviously, thank you to everyone that's been in the chat with your amazing questions and getting involved. We appreciate it. If you haven't already, do like and obviously drop a subscription to both channels. All details will be on our socials as well. So, yeah, we'll probably look to be back next Tuesday evening to obviously go over the United game in quite a lot of detail, and then looking in towards the big end of the season for the women's and the men's the following weekend as well. So yeah, that's all we have for tonight. So thank you for watching, and see you soon.
All right, guys.
Cheers. Happy Arsenal.